Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda. Hey guys, I'm back today with my good friend Anna. I'm so happy to be interviewing her, someone that I actually know and have known for a few years, quite a few years. And I think this topic is so important because it has everything to do with Got Your Hands Full. So Anna is, among many, many other things, I'll let her explain, an NFP teacher. She is trained in the Creighton model and has done such great work with that. So without further ado, I'll let Anna explain a little bit about her, where her family is living and what she's doing, and then we'll go from there so that you guys can learn all about natural family planning. So welcome, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Okay, so yes, I'm a Creighton practitioner. My background, I was just telling somebody else this, which is kind of funny. My background is in theology.
Yeah.
And a little bit
of psychology. Which is helpful for anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't planning on going into NFP, like in college.
Right.
You know, and then, once I got married, was struggling with some infertility, and that story goes a lot further back, but I knew we had some hormonal imbalances in my body. And so we would need to kind of keep approaching a more and more medical method, which we'll talk about the methods.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I got into teaching it, because I was just so sort of obsessed with the information I was gaining about myself.
That sure.
I was like, other people need to know about this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I started telling everybody about it, and with no like certification. My husband was finally like, maybe you should like learn about what you're saying. which was a good point.
So at what point, like how long had you been married that you decided to get training?
So we started using Creighton, probably like 6 or 8 months into marriage.
Okay.
And then I started my, education and certification process probably like 2 and a bit years into marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. And for that whole time we had infertility and, I was determined though, like if we were never to conceive, I really needed people to know this information because I had gone so many years not knowing about my body, not knowing why things were going wrong, getting a lot of misinformation. And so once I started finally to learn about the truth, learn about my body, learn about sex in a way that was like, it just totally sink in with us. Well, you know, when something just hits you and you're like, this is it, because I found it. And it was so freeing. So even if we were to never have been able to have children, I felt like I have to teach this. Like people need to know about this, even if it never like works for me, quote unquote.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Which is theology. I mean, theology of the body.
Yeah.
You can't really separate the two.
Right.
And then so how long have you guys been married? And tell us about your little one.
Oh yeah. Okay. So we've been married almost 5 years. And our daughter Zelly is 2, 2 and a bit. So buried the lead there. We did finally get pregnant with the use of Creighton and Napro technology, which is like the medical side of Creighton. And actually now we are pursuing some endometriosis surgeries and other things like with the use of Creighton and charting and Napro and all those awesome things. So it still continues in my life personally, but I love teaching it.
So, okay, let's pretend that someone listening has no idea what we're talking about. Like maybe they've heard of the calendar method, which isn't even a thing because that's like what, 60, 80 years old, which is, I don't even know if that's right. But like what does society think NFP is versus what it is? Do people even know what NFP is? So tell me, like I'm either a Catholic who's never heard of it or like someone from another religion.
Yeah. So this actually comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's surprisingly a lot of times from Catholics, like,
yeah,
who
sure.
are often getting married and they were referred by a priest yeah. to do some NFP. And a lot of people feel kind of ashamed to say, like, yeah. I have no idea what it is. But honestly, I didn't know what it was either.
And you went to student.
I went to student. Yeah.
And like, I thought there'd be classes on that.
Totally. And I did. I took my first like NFP, like, you know, it was like a little seminar.
Yeah.
My senior year. I wasn't dating anybody. Like, yeah. But I was just like, I should probably know about this.
Uh-huh.
And feel like people have talked about it. No birth yeah. control shouldn't be a thing. And
yeah.
So I mean,
the percentage of Catholics that use it is quite low. Yeah. I mean, I've read like 2%.
Yes.
Which is like people that like claim to be Catholic. So they're like practicing it some, uh-huh. maybe even completely like fully engaged.
Right.
So to say I'm embarrassed. Well, you're like in good company. I don't know.
Exactly.
You're with 98% of yeah. the Catholics. So then if you're not yeah. even Catholic, mm-hmm. you should expect to know it.
And like, if you didn't know
to like take out the shame or whatever that might be. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Nothing to be ashamed of.
My bird is so distracting. There's this beautiful little bird that just came in the window.
It's a cardinal. Yeah. That's my God thing.
It's like, okay, every once in a while a bird might come yeah. because I have the blinds open and I'm right mm-hmm. in front of a window
yeah.
here, but I've never had one sit. And that bird's like freaking staring at us.
Okay. So cardinals are my God thing. So
I'm gonna take a picture.
Like the day I got pregnant, there was a cardinal that would not leave. I mean, I'm not pregnant.
Oh my
now,
gosh. But, it's a sign, Anna. I don't know what the sign is.
It's always like, you're well, for me, it's always here. Like just the Lord loves me. And
maybe we'll start a duo podcast.
Oh yeah.
This is awesome. Okay.
Oh, yay. Okay. So
explain yes. NFP to me.
Right. Right. Okay. So yeah. So nobody should be ashamed
yeah.
if they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There isn't like, in my opinion, not, there's very little really good information that's like out there for the masses.
Yeah.
So unless you find somebody very specific, you probably won't know a lot about it.
Okay.
Good. But in general, NFP is a way of figuring out a woman's fertility, the time of her fertility.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the most general understanding, I think. And with that understanding comes tons of other understanding, of course, like about her health and her moods and like all the kinds of things. And and then it also plays into marriage and your sex life. And so there's lots of different routes. But at its core, my understanding, at least, is that, in my view of it, is that like societies since the beginning of time have been trying to answer that one question. Like, when is a woman fertile and how can we know? There's like all kinds of crazy ancient writings about like the pheromones of a woman, and like Egyptians thought that cats could tell when a woman was fertile based on like how the cat was like interacting with a woman, and like everybody just wants to know this question, which has a cool theological aspect too, of just like mystery there, obviously, because everybody wants
so
to know
cool.
it, you know.
I feel like we could do an episode just on that, like the Egyptian fertility gods. But yeah. The bird is still staring at us. But we, it's like really weird, but amazing. We, as life coaches, talk about evolutionary biology, because like the whole idea that now that we can study the brain, like we ever have, can see that, and we also know that we study psychology and the history of it. So we know that like tribes were working together to be safe, and the brain was made to be safe. So like a lot of times you think things are dangerous that aren't. Wow. And just like how that's evolved. Like now we have, you know, anxiety and, you know, panic attacks. And at one point, like we needed that, just going back to the evolution side of it, that like it's evolved over time. But at one point, like there were animals and cliffs and like other tribes with clubs and rocks. The falling, like if you start like
to be anxious about something,
right?
For to be safe, yeah.
And so the whole reason I bring that up is because when you said about trying to figure it out with like the Egyptians and their people trying to figure out all throughout history and over time, is like we're still trying to figure out like the brain and like just all that's evolved.
I mean, we're still trying to answer this question.
Yeah.
And the way I explain.
And they also say that, like you said, they can study now, which maybe sounds crazy, like this theory that Egyptians had, but they can study now, like a woman's ovulating, she smells different. So, which I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me that before I got married? Like my husband only wants to have sex when I'm ovulating, or like wants to have it more, I should say, not only wants to.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, so now that we're abstaining with NFP, I'm like, well, I really want it now, but why don't you want it? He's like, well, I know that you're fertile. And I'm like, he's like, I can smell it, which is a joke because he can't.
Right.
But he's like, you act different. I'm like, I do. And then my friend's like, my husband acts so different towards me when he starts to say, like, you're beautiful and tansy. Mm-hmm. He's like, she's like, that's always when I'm ovulating. And like, they're not in a place to get pregnant. So they're like, why does this happen? Mm-hmm. And going back to like, well, I guess evolutionary biologists might say, or, you know, people in psychology might say, like, oh, you're trying to, the man in general, like men are trying to figure out which woman will give him babies, you know? So,
yeah.
Like,
and there's, that's actually I give like several overarching principles that you can kind of like nestle all the rest of the information under. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like, when your body is working properly, it is trying very hard to get you pregnant.
Yeah.
So it makes you smell better. It makes your voice sound better, more pleasing to people. Ew. It actually,
I should only do the podcast when I'm ovulating.
It'll rearrange the fatty parts of your body to be more symmetrical so that you're objectively more beautiful.
What?
Like your hips and your cheeks and your butt and your boobs. Mm-hmm. And so like,
I never knew that.
And your hair will be more lustrous. Like, I mean, everything. Your body is really trying to get you pregnant. And that's just like how we were made, you know, it's just like, so that it, even so that it starts when we're like 13.
I know.
Like, it's really not.
And I've heard enough people say like, there's only something wrong if you're not getting pregnant. Cause like, that's why the body should always want to get pregnant. That's like a healthy sign.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sign of, of overall health, which is also true when people have, you know, on the other side, if people are having fertility issues, it's often just a symptom of deeper things going on.
So, yeah. Well, I know we talked about ancient history and I'm going back to like, I don't know, cavemen, but like, could you speed me up? Because I don't really know. I mean, I know like Creighton was a Dr. Creighton. Because people think, okay, here's this Catholic girl that studied theology and now she's talking to me about my cycle.
Right.
But like, I know that it's scientific.
Yes.
Like, and I think people that practice it have read all the science. And I have friends who are doctors that practice it, that as medical people, they can read it and say like, oh, I don't even really need to go to that class because I'm a medical doctor and I know the biology of my body and I can figure this out. Right. So I've heard doctors say it's legit, even if they weren't practicing Catholics, because it's just science.
Yeah.
But some people who, again, like a misconception that science and faith don't go together, they're like opposed. Could you explain, like, even as a non-doctor, how you can know this is true, or how it is medical and scientific, even though you're not necessarily a scientist teaching?
Totally.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was created at Creighton University.
Okay.
It's called Creighton.
Oh,
by
okay.
Dr. Hilgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, so I'm learning so much.
Yeah, a physician. I know. I mean, he probably wouldn't mind if you called him Dr. Creighton.
Dr. Creighton.
And all of it, I mean, his children are also like doctors and surgeons and lawyers, and like they all like also
smart people introduce this
so
people.
Cool. Yeah, I know. And so I mean, and I've heard it said by many doctors that they spend less than one class period in their medical career on a natural method. So like, and I have had doctors for clients before who have verified that they did not know this information, like that I'm telling.
Crazy.
And it's very simple. I mean, yes, I studied theology. I did not. I also took psychology as a minor. And so I did like A&P and whatever, but like, I wouldn't classify myself as like a science brain.
Yeah. You don't like study and observe mucus on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And well, you can do it.
Yeah.
Well, now you do.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But like, you didn't
know
for like,
no, but that's the thing. Like, so, I mean, you have to be careful about like women's empowerment. Right. But like, it is so empowering because I saw 9 doctors before I found one who wouldn't put me on the pill. 9 doctors in the midst of infertility.
Well, it's empowering in the right sense of the
word.
Exactly. I think we have a good intention, but like, we don't know how to do it.
Yes. And so
the pill does not empower you.
No. When finally somebody was saying to me like, no, you are the expert of your own body, I honestly didn't believe them. It's like, no, like doctors are telling me this and that and this, and like this is going wrong and that's going wrong. So this is what has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my Creighton instructor was like, that's just not true. Like, you know what's going on with your body. The things you're telling me are very different from what you said the doctors have told you. And that's true because they didn't know what was going on. So eventually, like, I would go to a doctor. This is basically the cycle. I would go to a doctor, give them my symptoms, tell them I wasn't having cycles, like all the things.
Yeah.
And I would say, I have some like moral and ethical issues with the pill.
Right.
And obviously we're trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
But I knew that that's kind of where they would go.
And it's so, like a Band-Aid.
Oh, you weren't even saying
I don't know what, why anyone would go. I mean, besides not to get pregnant, like I want the pill, but you weren't. Yeah. You were like, I want to get pregnant, but something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And like, no one was even like, it's like going, it's a crazy. It's like, if you compare it, let's do an analogy. Like I have this back pain and everyone just keeps like throwing drugs at you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all would say like, okay, after you've tried, mm-hmm. like no one would mm-hmm. in their right mind would go in and doctor's like, we need back surgery. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Right.
Like why do something so invasive? Like why take a pill to stop ovulating, mm-hmm. stop periods? Mm-hmm.
The only reason to make is your body have no other option.
Yeah, it's like
they like genuinely they would come. We would,
and I'm not one to say like I take medicine. So people who don't, that's fine. But like I'm not one to say like it's just vitamins and exercise or
right.
You know, it's just don't eat sugar and you'll get pregnant. Like I'm not like so natural because I think maybe because I've had friends want to do NFP because they're and organic. And they're not even religious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which totally is fine and interesting on their side, but I'm not necessarily saying that's the reason to do it, but it is kind of funny that we just want to medicate something without even looking. That should be like a red flag.
Especially when there are actual medications and surgical protocols that will actually help.
Yeah.
And the pill is not one of them.
Yeah.
The pill is one of the only things we take to make ourselves sicker.
Mm.
And there are actually a lot of really well studied and well proven medical and surgical protocols, supplemental protocols, like mm-hmm. like real medicine,
mm-hmm.
That can go towards healing these things, but doctors don't know how to find them.
Mm-hmm.
It's also more expensive for them to look into. Not mm-hmm. that every doctor is like corrupt or anything.
Right.
It's how a lot of times how they're trained.
Yeah.
Like I need to get in and out in 15 minutes. And
well,
my Creighton practitioner, who was also my physician, had to spend 3 hours with me at the first appointment.
Yeah.
Get a full medical background, talk to me about every single one of my symptoms, teach me Creighton.
Sure.
So it's much more in depth and mm-hmm. and full. And so, yeah. So there's nine doctors. I mm-hmm. wanted to go back to them and be like, there's so much more you could be offering people.
Maybe we should email them the podcast. That's what I'll do.
That's a good idea.
I'll do it. I mean, who knows if they'll listen, but we could email them or hashtag them in like the sharing. But because it's not you. You're not violating HIPAA. You're the patient.
Yeah. Right.
So you can say whatever you want.
Oh, so sorry. Back to your question. So everybody is the expert on their own body if you choose to be.
Mm.
But I think at least I was very much like conditioned to not believe that. Like a doctor has to tell me what's going on. Mm. And in a lot of cases, that's true. Like I need blood work to tell me, specifically a lot of things that are going on. But like when it comes to my clients, when I hear a woman say like, because a lot of times we don't have language for a lot of the things we're experiencing. Like she might say something like, I just know something is off. I'm like, bingo. You're right. I guarantee you, you're right.
Yeah. Like, or her husband.
Yes. Right. Yeah. But like when she's experiencing something like, sometimes we minimize our mood swings and we minimize the pain we're feeling. And a lot of times the only thing that a woman can get out, especially if she's seen a lot of people who don't like believe her or don't trust that she's the expert of her own body. Mm-hmm. When she says something is off, something is not right here. Something mm-hmm. doesn't feel like it's clicking into place. Like, mm-hmm. then I'm like, okay, that's where we're going to dig into that and explore that place. Cause we've just been really, at least I was really conditioned to just kind of shut that down. Like if a doctor didn't tell me something was wrong, nothing's wrong. Which is just not true. So
that's not getting to the root of the problem. So that's not helping anyone, not empowering. That's not healthy.
Right.
I mean, we wouldn't do that in any other
area. And like the longer it goes, the worse it often gets.
Yeah. And then at one point she wants to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. then the pills just ruin that for how many years?
So that's what turns normal theology students into like experts because anybody can be an expert in their own body, but then we do have a long education process.
But I mean, I think it makes sense because you're an expert in yourself,
right?
And you like you're planning your family, mm-hmm. and you're the one, and your husband are having sex, so like you and your husband are the ones that need to know when you're fertile. So like you should be an expert in that. It's mm-hmm. kind of like when you're exercising, like knowing when to stop. Mm-hmm. And if you have a pain that you've had or you have an injury, like mm-hmm. you don't need a doctor to tell you like how to work out or like how to eat better. I mean, if you were to have some serious medical issue, you might go to a doctor and use your NFP chart with that. But
right. And they can give you the information to just do it yourself. And then like in our case, if we need to seek further things, like mm-hmm. I needed blood work and I'll need surgery and obviously those things I can't do by myself.
Right.
But it comes from this basis of like knowing exactly how my body operates.
Yeah, you have to know the basics because, mm-hmm. I mean, God wouldn't make it so complicated that, like, he's not like, get married and just, I don't know, you'll have kids somehow. Like,
right, right.
We're supposed to know
yeah.
about sex, and this is a big part of that.
Yeah.
Like, but it is more than just that. It's not just right. pregnancy and not pregnancy, but it's, sure. like you said, you should know about your mood swings and mm-hmm. all the other things. That
and fertility, like I said, is yeah. often just an indicator of other health. So, like, I have a kind of myriad of health problems, and fertility yeah. is only one little part that's oh, really wow. affects the rest of it. Which is kind of cool though, in a way that it's
right.
like, it's a thing that's so integral to our identities mm-hmm. as like man and woman mm-hmm. that it makes sense that if something were off, then that would kind of indicate it for mm-hmm. us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought of something else to validate NFP because like mm-hmm. I started off by saying some people think like, well, the oh, science yeah. and the faith doesn't go together, or it's just some weird freaky thing that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Is that, so we talked about the pill quite a bit. The opposite is true. So for infertile couples, they're not going to your church basement, which that's where they teach NFP, or, you know, a Catholic girl that you can call like Anna. But if you just go to, like, we live near Cleveland. So the Cleveland Clinic is a world renowned hospital. And my friends who have struggled with infertility go to technically it's like the IVF clinic, but they go to like the infertility guru, like the best, well-trained, and they literally teach them how to chart. And I'm like, amazing. Dude, I could tell you that for $40 in the church basement. So, but it is giving validity for the naysayers yes. out there. Anyone has like, what is,
well,
Lauren and Anna, you know, Lauren yes. has 8 kids. So, I mean, no one's adopted, but come on now. And one's twins. So I've only been pregnant yeah. 6 times, yeah. but they're like, wait, no, 5 times. I don't know how to tell you, but they're like, yeah, you just don't even know what you're talking about. But it is like, you could go, if you don't want to believe me, you could go to any fertility clinic. And for people who can't, they'll be like, well, when are you ovulating? And they use NFP.
Well, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
that was $1 million appointment you could have saved.
Oh,
just
yeah.
FYI, Google, oh, well, okay, Creighton this, teacher people.
Just listen to this.
Anna Schaefer.
This will really bug you.
Save a lot of money.
I just learned this statistic. So IVF clinics often boast a 99.9% success rate with mm-hmm. couples.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't remember if it's like a live baby outcome or a pregnancy outcome, but
okay.
it's like very high.
Because they're giving the woman drugs.
Well,
Clomid.
that those studies, at least the one that I was reading,
yeah.
and I wish I might even in the Journal of Reproductive Medicine.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It takes out any couple with medical infertility.
Come on now.
No. So those people, 99.9%, like it should be 100%.
They're healthy.
Those people, they're totally healthy.
They were on the pill and then they were just like, oh wait.
Well, okay.
How do you get pregnant?
In Creighton, like we do an introductory session and
yeah.
we give validity statistics, you know?
Yeah.
So 40% of couples who have been given a diagnosis of medical infertility just don't know when to have sex because just by charting their cycle, they will conceive.
Okay, yeah. So I feel like any adult should know this, and hopefully teenager, like my teachers. You only ovulate for one day, right? And then the sperm obviously can live before mm-hmm. that 24 and after mm-hmm. the 24. So like it's not you're only fertile. You can get fertile, what, like 3-4 days? And it obviously depends.
Yeah.
That's a healthy cycle.
Right.
Some people don't ovulate. Some people have weird, like if mm-hmm. they're in a nurse breastfeeding or.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was a stupid thing to say, but.
No, that's right. Yeah.
You some people, if you're on the pill cycle, and no one's ovulating. Ever taught you, I mean, you should know these things, people.
Yeah.
You should have learned it when you're 13 by your.
No, but the thing is, what's really.
When you had your first period, like, your mom should have said. This is for sex.
I know, but I didn't know.
Maybe we shut the sex talk.
Totally shut.
We'll do a different podcast.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is that's often part of my job is to like talk to these young couples about like, so I know what you've seen in the movies. That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know I have to burst a lot of bubbles, which I mean, I think I'm also.
What are they thinking is going to happen?
More true. Rom-com like sex scenes. Like,
oh,
it's like.
They haven't had sex yet. Like they're engaged or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. For like couples who are engaged and who are. Praise God.
Movies have messed
doing
us
really
up.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I think we also just don't know how to talk about sex.
Personally, no, that's true. Because like the movie's the only
yeah.
picture you have of it because
uh-huh.
you didn't like see it anywhere else.
Yeah. Hopefully. And depending on your parents' sex life.
I mean, if you don't want to watch other people have sex, that would be appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could read about it in theological books, but that's still not
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you say? This is so interesting.
Oh yeah. So we talk about seminal fluid. We talk about like arousal fluid. We talk about all the, I just give them all the things. But what I also tell them, like, there is no way to describe the joy and the peace and the beauty. I'm just giving you logistics that you don't have.
Yeah. They go to you for.
But I mean, I praise God. I have had couples call me on their honeymoon because I'm the only person that they talk to about sex. So like, I mean, I'm grateful for that, but I feel a little sorry for them.
You're kind of like Dr. Ruth. What's that lady?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Is that her name?
Oh,
the sex lady. Yeah. She's still alive.
I don't know.
She came to Ohio State once when I was in college and talked, and she was like in her, she was old. I don't wonder. I'm going to Google and see if she's still around.
Yeah.
But you're like the Catholic, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm totally going to probably edit that out, going off the rails. So Dr. Ruth, okay, so you talked to these couples going back to the thing. So tell me what they say.
So usually they are very open and sweet about like about what they do or do not know. And and are very open with me like that.
What do they want to know? Like, what don't they know? Tell the people that are afraid to ask you.
Okay. So like what happens if you
have pain? Really should ask her. She's not that expensive.
Yeah.
Compared to the Cleveland Clinic fertility people.
Right. Oh, that's so true. Yeah. Like what happens if you experience pain? Mm. Like some women have symptoms.
There are like disorders where, or I don't know what you call them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where you have pain every time heard.
Yeah. A lot of people with endometriosis will have. Okay. Not that you have to have endometriosis to have pain. So nobody freak out if you have pain.
Yeah.
But like,
or you on like on your honeymoon, you have pain.
What positions to try.
Okay.
You know, so like if this was uncomfortable for you or if this didn't feel good to you or like, I mean, nobody talks about female orgasm. Nobody. Hope that's okay to say.
Oh yeah. Anything's okay to say.
Okay. And so like,
I don't think you get canceled for that. You canceled for a lot of other things.
Yeah, that's right.
Orgasm's totally cool with most people.
That's so true. That's so true. Yeah. So like, so, and just, and I mean, with my couples that are faithful, which, you know, some of them, I don't know their religious affiliation, but a lot of them are Catholic or Christian.
Sure. Yeah.
They will want to know specifics about like, is this okay with the church? Is that okay with the church? What about this part of sex is okay? Because we're also, our minds are so distorted that it's hard for us to kind of cross into a place of like, this is holy. Especially like with people who have a history of pornography, masturbation, it can be very difficult to enter. I mean, I've even heard clients saying, I felt this way in some ways, like, it's like, no, this chastity culture that we have.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and then in a matter of a few seconds after the mass, right? Like everything is yes.
I know.
And you don't know, are there lines? Are there like, is there boundaries? Like, am I allowed to say no? Can I say yes to that? Like, it's just, it's kind of, nebulous. Like after
that's a good point. You know? 'Cause we've done a good job in the church, I think, like a better job in the history of the church recently with theology of the body,
right.
Talking about the beauty of sex and then like talking about chastity in a positive light, like not what you can't do. And I think maybe generations past were all like, no. Mm-hmm. And I think it still is like, you can't do this, you can't do that. But like, we've done a better job with like the teenagers or the people who aren't married yet. Mm-hmm. But you're right. We haven't really maybe done the best job of like the marriage side. Or maybe like a good transition, like there isn't like a good explanation in that in between period or the like the engaged.
And
the
for me, like what I see is like the I'm sure there's lots of things missing, but in particular, the thing missing is talking about the beauty of desire. That desire is good and holy and like and something to thank God for.
Right.
But I think in some cases, not all, again, like with a true theology of the body, this definitely comes into play. But without the fullness of that, it can just be kind of like scary to like desire someone. And then you just kind of shut it down. But then what happens, and I've seen this in many of my couples, unfortunately, but like once you get married, you're not sure how to like arouse it again, literally. Like you've shut down your desire for so long that like possibly you think it's bad or you're just not really sure how to get it back.
So do you help them with that? Mm-hmm. Were you planning on that being part of your job?
I kind of love it.
I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I don't know
thing.
If I knew it was going to happen, but
well,
I
that's
had
so
one
healing.
Couple call me.
You really are Dr. Ruth. You are she's a sex therapist. Okay. I Googled her. She's just going to be part of this. She's 93.
Oh, bless her.
Okay. So what is NFP like in a nutshell?
So like I said, everybody is trying to answer that question of when a woman is fertile.
Yeah.
And so You know, some methods are more scientific than others, but the rhythm method and the calendar method mm-hmm. were aiming in the right direction, but not effective at all, which I'm pretty sure the calendar method.
And were those even made up by doctors? I mean, they could have been outdated science.
They were, yes. Well, so they were assuming that women always ovulate on day 14. Just like happens like less than 3% of the time.
Day 14.
Yeah. So they just like had women abstain around that time, which was not effective. So like people would, there's a story of somebody in my husband's family, like with 11 kids, like knocking on the church door and being like, I did what you told me and now we're broke and we have 11 kids and I don't know what to do.
I never knew that's what they told people day 14. Uh-huh. That's so stupid.
I know, so stupid. So especially because every woman's body is different. But
so they did it like without testing or something, or yeah, without a lot of research
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure at the time it was as good as they could get. I mean,
I don't think so.
Well, maybe not.
You could have done a better job.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. That's so true. I mean, you know, we're not like feminists or anything, but my husband will say things like, cause I have endometriosis and he'll say things like, if you had a penis, you would have a pill to fix that like 50 years ago.
Well, yeah,
this is true for NMP too.
Yeah.
Like we would have had so much more, you know, anyway, but we're coming around because now, I mean, the way I explain Creighton is on a spectrum of like how much information you're going to gain about your body.
Yeah.
All the methods kind of fall on that spectrum and Creighton is at the farthest end.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that it's better than any other method. Some people don't need or want all the information that Creighton gives you because it is extra work.
Okay.
To gain that information, like medical professionals really like it because they like data, you know, and people who have hormonal imbalances tend to go toward Creighton.
Yeah.
I know people who love Symptothermal or Billings. And you know, the details of those you can Google. But with Creighton, we're specifically looking at cervical mucus.
Okay.
And then by really dissecting like what your cervical mucus is telling you, we can gain
not literally dissecting.
Yeah, no,
figuratively
figuring it out. We can gain so much information about what's happening with the functional side of your body, what's actually going through your bloodstream, like what kind of hormones are pulsing at what time.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's amazing. So once I went to those 9 doctors and I finally had started charting, I took it to a Creighton doctor's, the chart.
Yeah.
I had 2 months of charting on there.
Yeah.
Okay, so like relatively a short amount of time. And she looks at it and she's like, oh yeah, I have tons of things that we're going to look for. And I just cried because every other doctor was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like obviously something's wrong, but we can't really figure it out, so we're just gonna hand the pill. But just by looking at these like stickers on a chart, she was like, oh yeah, like, I mean, she didn't have all the answers right then, but she had a lot of them and then knew exactly how to point like all the diagnostic testing because of that chart. Just, and again, it's just like stickers on a page.
Oh man,
it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, Anna, you have taught us so much, and I think it just scratched the surface because I have like 1,000 more questions. And like you said, NFP is so all-encompassing because it talks about all the aspects of a woman's health. And then it goes into your sex life and romantic life and physical intimacy, obviously, but it's also emotional, you know, in your marriage relationship. But then in addition, it points to other medical problems. We didn't even really talk about how you can use it for planning your family. I mean, we did, but I feel like I could ask so many more questions. So you're just gonna have to come back.
Yeah, great. I'd love to. I love it.
Well, thanks for coming. Is there anything else you want to say to anyone out there? How can they find you? Because I feel like some people might have more questions and I'm not gonna have the answers.
My email is Anna Grace, AnnaGrace.
Okay.
.Schaefer, SHAFFER at gmail.com.
Okay.
And even if I could just point you in the right direction, like if you don't want to do Creighton, but you have questions, you're welcome to email.
Yeah. So Anna Grace Schaefer, and that's the Creighton method. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Well, we're going to have Anna back, so don't worry. And we'll be looking forward to the next episode with Anna Grace Schaefer.
Thank you.
Thank you.